Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Big issues, big guest. Our guest this hour at 11:30 will be the vice president of the NJEA. You know the story about teachers and being armed in schools, and they object to it, and we're honored that they're coming on here to have a great conversation with them, so don't miss that. But I've had Amy Chua on at least twice that I remember. I think both times with books. Originally, she was out there as a so-called Tiger Mom, you may remember, and the stir that created. Her new book talks about political tribes, group instinct, and the fate of nations, and the breakdown of going into our own particular corners, identity politics, the election of President Trump. What I like here in the book is the talk of the elites, or even something as simple as this. I'm going to ask Professor Chua in a second about this. She has a point in her book she talks about on Billboard. The only person on there that was diverse was Taylor Swift versus all the other people on the Billboard list of music that were of the same genre. So you're seeing stuff, you're seeing this breakdown all over the place. Let's go to Professor Amy Chua on Talk Radio 1210 on the Spring Dance Hot Tub Hotline. Professor, welcome back. You store at Yale. I'm a little unclear on that.
Yes, I am. Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being there at Yale, too. It's got to be a heck of a faculty with you there.
Well, yes. The campuses are a little crazy right now.
Exactly right. Hey, I mentioned this part in your book. I look for the little nuggets in here, and I was just talking about this with the phenomena of the Black Panther. We just had our movie guy on, how much it's done at the box office. And you seem to be talking here about trying to find tribal stuff is fine, but there have to be some broad points of American identity where we do agree and come together. I don't know if I can identify too many things where Americans agree on it like 80% anymore. Can you?
Well, this is actually why I wrote the book.
Yes.
Because I've been studying, you know, other countries, dysfunctional countries that break down for 20 years. And we have to remember what makes America special. And, you know, it's kind of very trendy to just, especially on progressives, just to trash the country all the time. But we're very imperfect. We've had an imperfect history, but we have always had two things at the same time. One is a very strong, overarching national identity. We're all Americans. And the second thing is we allow individual subgroup identities to flourish, like I'm Italian-American, I'm Irish-American, I'm Chinese-American, but still be intensely patriotic at the same time. I mean, that's always been the magic. And that's what's breaking down right now, that you can see a lot of people attacking the national identity part of it. And then on the other side, you could see a lot of people not allowing individual identities to flourish. So, you know, I don't pull any punches on either side, so I'll probably get in trouble for this book.
Well, look, I agree with you. I mean, I have people call me. I'm a conservative, as I think you know, and I get the identity politics on the left. I see nothing wrong, though, with saying you're a proud Italian-American. My wife is more Italian than I, and I know your background. There's nothing wrong with saying
right.
That. That doesn't mean you're going to subsume that, as some on the left do. It just means there's a space for that.
Of course, and you can't, because if you do, so if you look at a country like Libya, it's multi-ethnic like we are. You know, it's got like 100 different ethnicities, but it fell apart. It fell apart because that Libyan national identity wasn't strong enough. And I know we don't want to compare ourselves to Libya, but that's the point. We have to cherish the fact that we have this constitution that binds us, that our constitution is this brilliantly written document that is actually neutral, that it embraces mm-hmm. all people. And, you know, we fail. It's not like we've been perfect. We always fail to live up to the ideals. But the goal is that we should try to get better, not
okay. I'm in complete agreement with everything we said, and I love the book. I've gotten about halfway through it, even on a limited time schedule. Here's the thing, though. My complaint would be there are a significant number of people on the left who do not love the Constitution. We're seeing that play out. They put out silly things like this meme that's out there, Professor. Alyssa Milano was one, but it's all over the place. Why would we respect the Second Amendment? Because in 1791, cholera and typhus and all were popular in the colonies. So in other words, they dismissed the genius of the Constitution.
Yes. So I'm quite critical of this. What I say is that it's one thing to say, look, we have these great ideals, but we haven't always lived up to them. I'm fine with that. It's another thing to say, look, this country has always been a land of oppression and genocide. Because what I say is, if this country has always been nothing but a land of oppression, then why is it worth fighting for? Why is it worth defending? So I totally agree with you. I think that the rhetoric, and I think people are, which is why I keep going back to these developing countries, because I think we're in our tribal bubbles right now, and it's almost like both sides are playing with poison, and they don't realize how destructive this is. And I also think it's why we can't talk about, like immigration. We're at the point now where, I'm an immigrant's kid. I think immigration has been so important to this country. But it's ridiculous that people can't say, I'm anxious about the immigration changes and who's allowed to come in and how do we form the rules. That's a legitimate question. But as soon as you say something like that, then people on the left will say, oh, you're a xenophobe.
Well, Professor, I never thought I would say it, but Dominic Joseph Giordano is my name, and I know your background again, too. We celebrate. I come to tears with Neil Diamond. They're not allowed to play it during the show, Coming to America. But it's gotten so bad, I'm so distrustful now, that I would consider a big slowdown on legal immigration simply because the assimilation piece is not firm enough anymore.
Right. Well, the point is that we need to be able to talk about that. But you could not, that idea cannot even be debated and discussed. And because what's happened is that because of tribalism, nobody on the other side will even listen to you. It used to be, even not long ago, that people on the other side of the political spectrum were just people we disagreed with. But increasingly now, it's like the people on the other side are the enemy. They're un-American. So for you to say that, and I think that's kind of why I wrote the book. Like what you just said is perfectly reasonable. There's nothing, but we should be researching that and seeing it. What's the optimal thing? But we're just never going to get there because it's almost like one side is saying it's completely at one extreme, and then the other side is the other extreme, and then normal people suffer in the middle.
President Trump, you talk about in the book and the blurb and all that, and the area, too, that's I don't think secondary in your book. I put it to the top of my notes. The elites. And I think Trump, with all of his flaws, baggage and all that, one of the things that happened here, he wasn't just running against illegal immigration. I know from our side, he was running against the Republican elite who failed a lot of people. But the elites on both coasts, looking down on the heartland and others, are a huge problem. This has really separated us into camps.
Completely. And that's a big part of my book. The coastal elites don't like to admit this. Here's what I say. They like to think of themselves as not tribal because they think of themselves as citizens of the world and very multicultural and open-minded. But what I say is that they're actually, in a way, the most arrogant and snobby of all, because they look down on people who don't speak in a kind of politically correct tone or don't automatically have all of their views about, immigration or multiculturalism or whatever. And I think President Trump tapped into this long building resentment that's been building up of just people saying, why are these people controlling the levers of power from afar, and they don't seem to even care about us or pay any attention to us, and they actually kind of look down on us. So that's very much a part of the dynamic.
Well, let me ask you on a personal note, too. How do they deal with someone like you who's brilliant, focused, provocative, and cosmopolitan in your background, as far as I can tell with the previous books? How do they try to deal with you? You are a member of the elite on ability, so how does that play out for you?
You mean on college campuses or just
on college campuses or in general? Yeah.
Well, To tell you the truth, I've just always been an outsider. You know, I grew up when I was like the only Asian kid in Indiana, and I just like loved Indiana, you know. And so I'm very much somebody that just hates being a victim. I just, you know, maybe this goes back.
That's
to
the next book.
Days.
That's what comes through loud and clear in this. Definitely.
Right. So I get in trouble a lot, but I, you know, I have very, very strong parents who taught me that, you have to try not to care, but I do care. So I'm a little strange. I don't fit very easily into any category, which is
true.
Why I get in trouble on both sides.
Well, that's always good. Amy Chua, thank you very much. Political Tribes, Group Instinct and the Fate of Nations. It's a great book. Very, very timely. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.